Well, this morning we want to be in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And once you're there, if you would stand with me, we'll read the first two verses of the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 1. It says, "The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them." Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you greatly bless our time together around your word this morning. Lord, it's been wonderful already to be in the house of God and to sing songs that remind us of wonderful biblical truths like holy, 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 and great is thy faithfulness. Lord, you have certainly been faithful to me. And I know you've been faithful to your people as well. Lord, we may not possess the wealth of this world. Lord, I think we have something that's much more valuable. We have a relationship with thee in heaven. You are our Father. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to listen attentively to the Word of God. I pray you'd help me as I preach the Word of God, that I might do it in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Lord, I am nothing, and if anything, could only get in the way of your message and your working. So set me aside and just use me, Lord, as was spoken to us Friday night at the rally. May, like you used Moses, may you use me. May it be the Spirit of God speaking, though. And God, may your people be helped. Amen. Lord, if there are lost people here this morning that are without Christ, draw them unto thyself through this message. Help them to realize how wonderful you are. So Lord, bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I have not done so yet, so let me welcome our visitors, the Elliots and Miss Betty. It's good to have you all with us this morning. I want to preach a message which I have entitled, "No Part Nor Inheritance in This Life." And I believe as we examine what God says to the Levites here in this chapter, we'll be able to make an application to every New Testament believer. You'll notice in our text it begins with these words, "the priests, the Levites." Therefore, I'd like to explain briefly how the Levites became the priests of Israel, for those of you who may not be aware. In Exodus chapter number 12, God institutes the slaying of the Passover lamb. God had already brought multiple plagues upon the people of Egypt, and yet Pharaoh still would not allow the people of Israel to leave and to go and to worship God. And so he was going to bring one last plague upon the people of Egypt. And before he did so, he wanted the people of Israel to prepare themselves so that they not suffer the same fate as the Egyptian families. And he said that each family was to take a lamb. And they were to slay that lamb, and they were actually to eat the meat of that lamb for dinner, but they were to do something unique with the blood of the lamb. They were to take that blood, and they were to put it upon the top of their doors and on the sides of their doorposts. And this was done for a reason. Because God, that evening, would bring death to every family in Egypt. The death angel would pass over, and he would kill the firstborn of every family. And even the firstborn of all the herds. And yet, if the people of Israel had done what God had told them to do and placed the blood of that Passover lamb on their doorposts, the death angel would pass over their home and their firstborn would not die. And so the Jewish people were faithful to do what God had commanded them to do. And so when they awoke in the morning, their firstborn were spared. But such wasn't the case for the people of Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 13, God then says to the nation of Israel that they were to separate the firstborn unto God.
Right.
They were to set them aside, and the firstborn of every family would then belong to God and would serve as the priests of Israel. And God says within that chapter that He was doing this for a reason, because He knew the day would come when the young boys and girls would grow up and they would watch how the people of Israel separated the firstborn. Maybe they witnessed their older brother being separated for the service of God, and they'd wonder, how come it is that brother so-and-so has to go and to serve the Lord in that capacity? And God says you're to remind them then of what happened in Egypt.
Amen.
And how there was death all around you, but yet your families suffered no loss. It was to be a memorial, a reminder of God's deliverance and God's protection for the people of Israel. But as you continue in the Old Testament and in the Pentateuch, you find that God makes a change. And in Numbers chapter 3, it says this, "And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel." That simply means the womb. "Therefore the Levites shall be mine." God makes a change, and He says, rather now than take the firstborn from every family, what I am going to do is to set apart one tribe of the people of Israel. There were 12 tribes of Israel, and God separates one of them, and He says, the Levites now will be the priests. They will perform the service of the tabernacle. And the Levites did a number of things as a result there in the nation of Israel. They were given to Aaron, it says in other places, who was the high priest, and they would minister to Aaron for the Lord. They were to tear down the tabernacle and to build it back up. You'll recall there during their wilderness march, they didn't have a permanent temple. Instead, they had a tabernacle. And that's where they worshiped. Now, many of the things that were in the tabernacle were in the temple, but the tabernacle was mobile. And so when God would move the people of Israel, either by fire at night or cloud by day, they would have to tear down that tabernacle and carry it to where God led them. And it was the Levites that would tear it down, and it was the Levites that would then put it back up. Of course, David learned during his kingship that the Levites were the only ones that were to move the Ark of the Covenant. And when David attempted to move the Ark in a manner that was not prescribed in the Word of God, a man lost his life. And so again, this just tells us about the unique service that the Levites had amongst the people of Israel. But you'll notice in our text there's also something else that distinguishes the Levite from all the other tribes and from all the other people of the nation of Israel. It says that they shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. And in verse number 2 it says, "Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren." They had a special service that they performed for the Lord, but it says that they had no inheritance with their brethren. You see, there would come a day when the people of Israel would finally be led by God into the land of Canaan, and they would defeat the armies in that land and possess all that belonged to them.
Right.
And so there came a day when the people of Israel began to distribute to the different tribes their inheritance. And while others were given property and lands, not the Levites. While others had vineyards and gardens that belonged to them, not the Levites. While others had herds and livestock and pastures to feed those livestock, not the Levites. And while the others enjoyed the milk and the honey of the land of Canaan, not the Levites. And you know, when I read this phrase, it's found in many places in the Word of God, it grabs my attention. Because I cannot help but feel that this truth applies to New Testament believers. We have been made priests.
Yes.
If you are a saved person, if you are a child of God, it says in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood,
yes,
to offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Amen.
If you're a New Testament believer, you're a priest.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of the Revelation, it says of John and the members of the seven churches of Asia that God hath made us kings and priests.
Amen.
Unto God.
Amen.
It says in the book of the Revelation in chapter 20, in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be the priests of God. It's referring to all New Testament believers. We have been made priests to God. We also, those of us that are saved, have been set apart for special service.
Right. That's right, preacher.
Two Wednesdays ago, as we began our study of the book of Romans, we saw what it indicated about the Apostle Paul, and it says that he was separated under the gospel of God. He was set apart for a specific task to preach the gospel. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says of all New Testament believers, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you.
Amen.
You have been set apart as a believer for a very specific task.
Amen.
And that's to show forth the praises of God Almighty. But not only that, Jesus said to those that would follow him in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And all of us have been called upon by the Lord to be witnesses for him. We have been made priests. We have been set apart for a specific task in this world. And like the Levites, we've also been called upon to make sacrifices for the cause of Christ. In Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Amen.
That request is made to every believer. And God simply says to the believer, give yourself completely to me. Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus calls upon those of us that are saved to give up our lives, to give up our goals, our ambitions, and our dreams, and to instead surrender to God's will for our life. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 12, Jesus, there wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Jesus was led out of Jerusalem to Golgotha, where he would give his life for the sins of the world. He was led without the gate, and he bore shame, being stripped, beaten, and hung there on a cross. But the Bible goes on to say, let us go forth, therefore, unto him.
Amen.
Go to Jesus without the camp, bearing his reproach. Because you know what? If you follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to bear reproach. That verse goes on to say, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
Amen.
Jesus went outside of the city, outside of Jerusalem, to die for the sins of the world. God calls upon us to go without the camp, away from the world, bearing His reproach. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier."
Amen.
A soldier makes sacrifices, don't they?
Yes, sir, preacher.
A soldier sacrifices the presence of his family. Tammy has a step sister living down in Texas. She's been living without her husband for months. He finally came back home. He's been over in Afghanistan. And you know, as she's a friend of ours on Facebook, you can see her post every day, just waiting for her husband to return. A soldier makes sacrifices. He sacrifices the presence of his family. He sacrifices the conveniences of suburban life. I'm assuming there are no McDonald's or Starbucks on the corners of the streets in Afghanistan. A soldier sacrifices the comforts of his home, a comfortable bed, a comfortable chair, a hot shower. Just ask those that served in Vietnam. A soldier sacrifices. Why does he sacrifice these things? He sacrifices for a greater cause. Likewise, as God's people, we are called upon to make sacrifices.
Right.
But you know, some believers despise their lack of worldly inheritance. They despise the fact that they cannot participate and partake in the things that the world partakes in. Like Lot, they want earthly lands and friends and positions. Like Achan, they desire worldly fashions and wealth. Like David, in his moment of weakness, they desire to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And like Demas, they forsake the Lord, having loved this present world. They say to themselves, "Why can't I have what the world has?" They say of many things that this world has to offer, "There's nothing wrong with it. Why must I do without?" But believer, let me encourage you this morning, don't despise your lack of inheritance in this life. Let me give you three reasons why you should not despise your lack of inheritance in this world. Number one, because we have a greater purpose.
Amen.
It doesn't appear that the Levites ever complained about their lack of inheritance in the land of Canaan. And I, for one, can't help but wonder why. Perhaps it's because they counted it such a privilege to serve the Lord.
Amen.
According to 2 Timothy 2:4, the verse I read just a moment ago, our purpose ought to be to please God.
Amen.
As a soldier in the Lord's army, what's our goal? What's our purpose? To please the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. That's our goal. And I'll tell you what, that's a much greater purpose. That's a much greater goal than the accumulation of wealth.
Amen.
Some people, they desire more than anything to have a high-ranking position so people will respect them, so people will think well of them. But I tell you what, there's a higher calling for the child of God, and that's to please the one that saved them. There's a higher calling than enjoying the pleasures of this life, whether it be the sinful pleasures or otherwise. There's a higher calling for the child of God, and that's to please our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Our society, even Christians, have grown tired of a religion that speaks of sacrifice, self-denial, and service. They indicate they want something greater than this. They want prosperity, not sacrifice. They want indulgence, not discipline. They want to be served. They don't want to be the servant. They don't want anything to do with doing without. But the captain of our army, he needs soldiers who will sacrifice. Soldiers who will fight on the front lines. Soldiers who will forfeit the pleasures of this life. Soldiers who will lose their lives in His. The world can go about collecting the things that this world has to offer, They can go about enjoying all the pleasures this world has to offer, but we have a greater purpose.
Amen.
Don't you dare envy the carnal Christian.
Amen.
Don't you dare envy the lost world. Their greatest purpose is to collect things, but ours is to please God.
Yes, sir.
We have a greater purpose. We also have a greater part, a greater substance. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6 says this, speaking of Jesus Christ, "And He hath raised us up together, and He hath made us to sit together in heavenly places."
Think about that. Amen.
But notice this next part, that in the ages to come, the eons and eons to come, it's speaking of throughout all of eternity.
Amen.
He might show the exceeding riches of His grace.
Yes, sir.
And His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Can I ask a question? Where are the believers today that have foresight? Where are the believers who can look and see into the future? Do we not understand that the sacrifices that we make today for the Lord will lead to wealth beyond our wildest dreams? Yes, self-denial is hard for the flesh. Yes, sacrifice is difficult for the carnal mind. And yes, selfless service is often unrewarded in this present world. But may I remind you of the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 10 and verse 29, where He said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for My sake and the Gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold and in the world to come, eternal life."
Amen.
Don't despise the fact that you have no inheritance in this life. We have a greater purpose. We also have a greater part, a greater substance in the world to come.
Amen.
Think about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He went to his father and he said, "I want my inheritance now. Give it to me now. I don't want to wait until death brings me my inheritance. I want it now. I want to be able to enjoy it in my youth while I have energy and while I have passion." And his father said, "If that's what you want, son, here it is." And he got his inheritance. And then one day, his inheritance was gone. And he was left with nothing. And I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians
right.
who are living in this world, and they say to God their Father, "I want my inheritance now." And He says, "Go right ahead. If you want the wealth of this world, if that's your choice, you can have it." But then when death occurs, they're going to be standing empty-handed.
Right.
I ask again, where are the Christians with foresight? Foresight to see that the sacrifices that we make now for the cause of Christ will yield wealth greater than our wildest dreams. When do you want your inheritance? When do you want your part? Do you want it now? Or do you want it later? We have a greater purpose. We have a greater part, a greater substance in the life to come. But we also ought not to despise the fact that we have no part in the things of this life because we have a more satisfying possession.
Yes, sir.
Notice in our text again, in verse number 2, it says, "Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren." Notice that next phrase, "the Lord is their inheritance."
Amen.
Psalm 16 and verse 5 says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance."
Amen.
"And my cup." Lamentations 3:24 says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." Psalm 142 in verse 5, it says, I cried unto the Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living.
Yes.
You have probably often heard that analogy that a person that looks at a glass that's half filled with water and says it's half empty is a pessimist. The one that looks at that same glass and sees it as half full is an optimist. But can I submit to you, the Christian that looks at his life, no matter what it has brought to him, and says, my cup runneth over,
yes,
is more akin to the psalmist in these verses. The Levites could have looked at their lack of inheritance in the land of Canaan and despised it. But they didn't. Why? Because they had the privilege of serving the Lord and serving His people. I believe that they could say, like the psalmist, my cup runneth over. Because the Lord was their portion. The Lord was their inheritance. And He satisfies. He satisfies in a way much greater than anything that this world can give to you.
Amen.
I believe God's people are called upon to make sacrifices, to deny themselves certain pleasures that might not be wrong, but yet they want to please the Lord, and therefore for the kingdom of Christ, for His glory, they deny themselves things that they could have otherwise. Some of our own missionaries, Jonathan and Laura Bryan, they could have stayed in the United States. They could have stayed in their hometown and served the Lord, and most people would have thought nothing about it. But they were just soldiers in the Lord's army, and they had to do His bidding. And when He said go, they gave up the comforts of America and went to the poverty-stricken Mexico to serve Him.
Amen.
Do you think they regret it?
No.
They probably miss McDonald's and Starbucks if they don't have them in Zacatecas. But I don't think they probably give it too much thought, because the Lord is their inheritance. A man that gives up everything that this life has to offer to serve God is going to be a very happy man.
Yes.
He's going to be able to look at his lot in life and say, my cup runneth over. Does your cup runneth over? Is that how you see your life? Maybe it's because you're looking for the things of the world to satisfy you. And they never will.
You're right, preacher.
It's only the Lord that will satisfy the deepest desires of your heart. Let me ask you a couple of questions in this morning. First, are you saved? Do you belong to the Lord? Has He redeemed you? Has He saved you? Have you turned from your sin and embraced Him as your Savior? If not, I want to encourage you this morning to trust Him as your Savior. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost illustration of saving faith is found in Romans chapter 4, and it's in the person of Abraham. And it says there that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Will you believe God this morning? Believe what He said about His Son, Jesus Christ, that He died for you, was buried, and that He rose again the third day? If you'll believe that, you can be saved. But let me ask to the Christian, do you despise the fact that you don't have an inheritance and a part in the things of this world? If that's you, don't despise that. You have a greater purpose than the accumulation of wealth and enjoying the things of this world. You have a greater purpose. The soldier, he goes into battle and he makes all those sacrifices. Why? There's a greater purpose. There's a cause. That cause is the protecting of the people back home. That cause, for our soldiers at least, is to continue to provide freedoms to America. And that's a greater cause than enjoying the comforts and conveniences that you're used to. Soldiers do that every day. And they don't seem to think too much about it. How come God's people don't do that? We should. Because there's a greater cause. The souls of men and God's glory is in view. So if you despise your lack of inheritance in this life, why don't you ask the Lord to forgive you?
Amen.
And those of you that are serving the Lord faithfully, enjoying Him as your inheritance, you just keep doing it.
Amen.
You just keep doing it. Trying to please the Lord. And you know, one day He will reward you beyond your wildest dreams.
Amen.
We don't do it for that reason alone, but He will reward you. And enjoy His presence here on this earth.
Amen.
The Levites' inheritance in this life was the Lord. That's all they needed.
Yes,
they didn't have to have property deeded to them. They didn't have to have their own garden and vineyard. They didn't have to have their own pastures and herds. They had the Lord.
Amen.
And they got to serve in the tabernacle every day.
Amen.
And fellowship and commune with God. And that's all they needed.
Sir.
And that ought to be all we need as God's people.
Yes,
to fellowship with the Lord of the universe. Again, don't despise your lack of inheritance and part in this world. Our inheritance is the Lord.
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the wonderful things that we can learn from it. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God may make this message real to every one of us today. And Lord, if there's one here that has not been saved, that they don't even have the Lord for their inheritance, may they be saved today. And Lord, for Your people, encourage them with this message. Lord, I know sometimes we read the thoughts, we read the emotions that the psalmist possessed in their lives, and Lord, we're no different. We have the same types of thoughts and emotions that run through our minds and hearts. And Lord, they look sometimes at the wealth of unbelievers, and they envied it, and they wondered, why didn't they have such a blessed life when they were making sacrifices and they were denying themselves for Your glory? And then, Lord, You'd remind the psalmist of what lies ahead in the future and how the wicked of this world will have nothing in the day of judgment, but those of us that are saved will have everlasting life and will forever enjoy Your presence. God, remind us this morning of the things that are most important. And that is fellowshipping with You, pleasing You with our lives, going in search of lost sinners to bring them into Thy kingdom. Use this message, Lord, this morning, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn number 391, I Surrender All. As we sing, if you need to come pray about something, I encourage you to do that. If you need to trust Christ as your Savior, just come forward and make that desire known to me so that I can open up the Bible and show you how you can be saved. 391, I Surrender All.